If you'd stand with me for the reading of the word, we're going to read in Ezekiel 47, verses 1 to 12. So in Ezekiel 47, starting in verse 1, it says, "Then he brought me back to the door of the temple, and behold, water was issuing from below the threshold of the temple toward the east, for the temple faced east. The water was flowing down from below the south end of the threshold of the temple, south of the altar. Then he brought me out by way of the north gate and led me around on the outside to the outer gate that faces toward the east. And behold, the water was trickling out on the south side, going eastward with a measuring line in his hand. The man measured 1,000 cubits. Then he led me through the water, and it was ankle deep. And again he measured 1,000 and led me through the water, and it was knee deep. And again he measured 1,000 and led me through the water, and it was waist deep. And again he measured 1,000, and it was a river that I could not pass through, for the water had risen. It was deep enough to swim in, a river that could not be passed through. And he said to me, 'Son of man, have you seen this?' Then he led me back to the bank of the river, and as I went back, I saw on the bank of the river very many trees." Say that, very many trees. "On the one side and on the other. And he said to me, 'This water flows toward the eastern region and goes down into the Arabah and enters the sea. When the water flows into the sea,'" listen to this, "'the water will become fresh. And wherever the river goes, every living creature that swarms will live, and there will be very many fish. For this water goes there that the waters of the sea may become fresh, so everything will live where the river goes. Fishermen will stand beside the sea from En-Gedi to En-Eglaim, and it will be a place for the spreading of nets. Its fish will be of very many kinds, like the fish of the great sea, but its swamps and marshes will not become fresh. They're not to be left for salt." And they are to be left for salt. "And on the banks, on both sides of the river," please hear this part, "there will grow all kinds of trees for food. Their leaves will not wither, nor their fruit fail, but they will bear fresh fruit every month, because the water for them flows from where? The sanctuary. Their fruit will be for food, and their leaves for healing." Father, we thank you for your word. We pray that you would speak to us today, that we would focus on what matters, and that's you. Help us to hear from you today. Speak through me to your people today in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You could be seated. You know, in verse 7 in that passage, we find that there were trees that were planted near the river. We are. Can we understand that this morning, that we are, as children of God, we're planted near the river? Now, I know that kind of gives you a word picture, so to speak. How many of you know that Scripture in many cases refers to the Holy Spirit, among many other ways, a symbol of the Holy Spirit is water? Can we agree with that? In the book of John, it says that the Holy Spirit, Jesus said this, that the Holy Spirit would be like rivers of living water that would flow from within you, right? So when we say that we are planted near the river, we're saying that we're planted near God. Now, when I read that passage in Ezekiel 47, the first thing that jumps to my mind every time I read it is Psalm 1. Every single time that I read that, being planted by the river, it always reminds me of Psalm 1, which is just 6 verses. And it says, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight..." Not his obligation. "His delight is in the law of the Lord. And on his law he meditates day and night. He's like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. The wicked are not so, but are like chaff that the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish." Some of you are saying, what do those two passages have to do with one another? The thing that jumps out to me, obviously, is the comparison in the water, the tree being planted by the streams of water. And every one of us, when we read Psalm 1 or we read Ezekiel 47, we love that thought process. Oh, we're going to have, we're going to be a tree that produces fruit all the time. And we're going to have a leaf that doesn't wither. Or in other passages, it says a leaf that produces healing. And we're like, yes, give me that. All of us would say, yeah, give me some of that, Jesus. Amen? How does that kind of process happen in our lives? How do we produce that fruit? I believe the foundation is in Psalm 1 and verse 2, where he says, "His delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night." We have to understand that this is not a hot and cold thing. This is not some sort of thing that we could just jump into and out of. And what I find happens so often, if we want to continue to use this river analogy, is a lot of people will jump into God's presence on Sunday morning and swim in the river, but when Monday rolls around, we get out, towel off, and then we go live in sin the rest of the week. We don't live continually in God's presence. We just walk into God's presence every Sunday morning, and then we step back out whenever we go home. And we wonder why we see so many people that will hop from church to church to church to church, from church to church. We wonder why we see so many people struggle in their relationship with God. And I believe it's because of several reasons, but the primary reason is because people do not live continually in His presence on a daily basis. That's the foundation of all of this. You are never going to be satisfied with this church, with me as a pastor, or any ministry, or any building, or anybody believers. You're not going to be satisfied until you find your satisfaction in your relationship with God. This church is not going to do anything for you. I'm not going to be able to say anything to you that's going to make you grow or anything like that. The foundation of all of this, and that's why it's the first message for the year and the first message for the series, is to understand that the foundation is your relationship with God. That's the way it has been. That's the way it's always going to be. You're never going to be satisfied. Any church split I've ever seen, any group of people that jump from church to church to church. Now listen, I understand there's seasons and there comes times of transition where we move from one place to another, all right? So I'm not talking about that. But I'm talking about people who are habitually hopping from place to place to place to place. In many cases, if not every case, it's because we have no real root and foundation in understanding our relationship with God. And then, of course, there's also correlations in understanding the importance of relationship within the body of Christ. But we have to understand that the foundation, what's Jesus called in Scripture? The chief cornerstone, right? Among many other things. The chief cornerstone. If you are not built upon Jesus, I don't care how many godly people you have in your life. I don't care how much godly counsel you get in your life. If your focus and your decision on your own is not to draw near to God, then you're going to be just the way it describes in Psalm 1. You're going to be like the chaff, which is a really fancy word for a tumbleweed. You're going to be just like the tumbleweed that hops from here to there. The wind catches it and blows it all over the place. Why? Because it has no root system. It's not established. It's not planted near the things of God, the river, the streams of water. So it flops around and flies everywhere. Find your foundation in your relationship with God. When we say being planted near the river, it simply just means to be passionate and to have a desire for and an intimate focus upon drawing near to God. We have so many times in our lives, and we're so good at this. We're so good at pretending like we want God's presence. Now listen, I'm stepping on my own toes. I'm not trying to come across as some sort of a condescending pastor. I've been there. I've had these battles, some even recently, right? I'm not trying to stand here and claim to be perfect, but let's call it what it is and get it out, right? We need to understand that church speak means nothing in the eyes of God. I can tell brother or sister so-and-so that I'm going after God. What does my life look like? What do I look like in my own time? What's my character? When people, if I were to put my life on this screen in front of you and all of you could see a synopsis or a recap of my last week, would I be ashamed? Some of you'd probably laugh because I'm pretty goofy. My wife is right now. She'd be like, oh my gosh, nobody wants to see that. But if I were to put that on the screen and show you, would I be embarrassed or would I be seen in front of you all as a liar? I'm going after God, and people watch that and say, there is no way that guy is going after God. Look at that. Our character. Are we really going after God, or are we just wanting to make everybody else think we are so we can feel good about ourselves? Listen, we put way too much emphasis on our reputation with man and not nearly enough emphasis on our reputation with the Father. Where's our foundation? Where are our roots? You know what happens way too often is many people, even within the church, try to live like the wicked and seek the nourishment of the righteous. We want to pretend that that church speak is okay. That'll get us to where we need to go. So we look good in front of everybody, but the deal is God can see through all the makeup, all the facade, everything else, and He sees directly to the heart. He says, I know you. I know your position. I know your focus. We got to understand it doesn't work that way, guys. We can't live like the wicked and expect God to bless it. That is a total oxymoron. Has God ever blessed sin in Scripture? Far be it from Him to do that. Anytime the children of Israel sinned, what happened? They were judged. Right? And then we get mad at God whenever judgment or punishment or discipline comes, whenever we're living in sin. God, why'd you do this to me? I want to point the finger at Him. He says, listen, I'm a just God. We forget about that in today's day and age because of mercy and grace and all this other stuff. He hasn't changed. This thing also says He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen? He's still just. He's still righteous. We've talked about that for the last 3 months, it seems like. But His desire is not for us to appear righteous before man. His desire is for our hearts. He makes us righteous. We can't be righteous. We can play games all day long in front of other people, but He makes us righteous. His desire is for our hearts. His desire is for the inner man. This isn't a Sunday thing. It's an everyday thing. This is about living in His presence daily. And when we figure that out, that's when we can really be the church that God's created us to be. And I'm not just talking about Victor, I'm talking about the church in general terms. That's when we can be the men and women of God that He's created us to be. When we understand that the foundation is daily communion, communication with Him. You know, people get intimidated by passages of Scripture that say, pray without ceasing. How many of you know that does not necessarily mean that you have to continually pray 24 hours a day, 7 days a week? It means having an open line of communication with the Father. I've heard it once said this way. I never pray for longer than 30 minutes, but I never go more than 30 minutes without praying. Open line of communication. Sometimes that requires us to hush our mouths and listen. We're very good at making our prayers and our supplications and our requests known to God, right? Let's be honest. That's been me many times. We're very good at making our requests known to God, but what about when He wants to make requests of us? Are we willing to listen? It's an open line of communication. Being willing to hear from Him, being willing to speak with Him, and not just when we want something from Him, but just to be with Him. You want to know what my prayer life looks like? I'm just going to be very transparent before all of you this morning. Most of my prayer life looks like this. I love you, Jesus. Just throughout the day. God, you're awesome. Thank you. Is that praying without ceasing? Yeah. You know why? God has really opened my eyes to this. You hear about it all the time. But God's really opened my eyes to that this past year on developing real relationship with Him. You know, when we talk about our spouse or, you know, our future spouse or whatever, somebody we love. You know how it is when you first meet them and you get all excited and you get the googly eyes and everything else and you're like, oh, this is great. I want to spend as much time as I can with them. Hopefully some of y'all are still in that. If you're not, you want to know why? Because love has grown cold. Focuses have changed. We've taken for granted things that we shouldn't take for granted. We've put our eyes in places they shouldn't be. I believe the same correlation can be said for our relationship with God. It's like the church in Ephesus we talked about 2 months ago. So you're doing all these great things, but you've left your first love. You remember that? So many times what happens to us as men and women of God is we have that initial, oh yeah, I love Jesus when we come to the Lord. And then for whatever reason, it could be several, so I won't try to list them out. But we turn our eyes from the Lord for whatever reason it might be. And our love grows cold. And there He is. He's still calling, saying, listen, I want relationship with you. I want to be with you. I want to know you. I want to know you. You know that passage that talks in Scripture that says that, you know, the whole thing, enter in, good and faithful servant, or depart from me, worker of iniquity, I never knew you? How many of you know that, and I know there's a few kids in here, but how many of you know there's an intimate connotation with that word knew? Like the way that Adam knew Eve? But it's an intimacy of joining together. Just as a husband and a wife physically join together upon marriage, right? There's a spiritual joining together. But think about it. As a child of God, does the Holy Spirit not live inside of us? We are the bride of Christ. I mean, there's a lot of correlations there. Don't get weird, but think about it. God wants to know you. You know what I'm saying? He wants to know you. And he wants you to know him. But the only thing we do is surface level so many times. And we wonder why there's so many things in life that we kind of go through and we can't really grasp them for whatever reason, or we can't find victory or joy or peace or anything else in our life. He's saying, I want to know you, but do you want to know me? Do you want to know me? I'm going to challenge some thinking here. I am grateful that Jesus died so I don't have to go to hell, but the main reason he died was so I could be with him for eternity. Relationship, being with him. Yes, we are saved. We are redeemed. Praise God. But why were we saved and redeemed? So we could be children of God. Relationship, love. We're called the bride of Christ. Intimacy. That's why Jesus came, to set us free from sin. But not only that, but to pick us up and to draw us near to his heart. Man, we've got to grab hold of that. It's not about a get-out-of-hell-free card. It's about depth in communication and intimacy and relationship with God. You want to see revival sweep through your life and through a church? That's when people grasp that this is about developing a depth in your walk with him. Everything's going to be surface level until we figure that out. Everything else is going to be falling on the floor and, yeah, maybe praying in tongues and seeing a couple of fun services, but it's all going to be surface level until we understand it's about relationship with the Father. We've got to grasp that. We've got to walk in it. We've got to walk in it every day. Why is it so important? It's because not only should we be planted near him, the reason we should be planted near him is because there is life in his presence. When you look at all the passages we've read so far, in verses 7 to 9 in Ezekiel 47, our main text, it said that the water produces life, the river produces life wherever it goes. Everywhere that God's presence is, it produces life. Think about that. Wherever God's presence goes, it produces life. Wherever the river flows, life. Verse 12 says that many trees would grow near the river and they will produce regular fruit. Not just like a one-time harvest. Okay, here's a harvest. Okay, now here's another harvest. Okay, here's another harvest. Y'all follow what I'm saying here? Continually producing fruit. Why? Because there is life in his presence. And their leaves would be used for healing. Why? Because there is life in his presence. In Psalm 1:3, yeah, we read it, that the tree by the river, the tree that's by the river, its leaf doesn't wither and it produces fruit. Why? Because there's life in his presence. You feel like you're spiritually dead? Get in his presence. Spend time with him. Develop relationship with him. Your relationship with God feels like it's nothing? It probably isn't, because you're probably not spending any time with him. And I'm not trying to be harsh, guys. I'm not. I'm trying to get us to understand that it matters. It matters. Revelation 22, verses 1 and 2 says, "Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb," verse 2, "through the middle of the street of the city. Also on either side of the river, the tree of life with its 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit each month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations." So we're talking end time stuff now, right? Revelation, this is the last chapter in the Bible, okay? Again, we see the river of life, right? It flows from where? The throne of God. And this tree of life is planted on either side of what? The river. And what does this tree of life do? It produces fruit and its leaves produce healing. Is that not what it says in Ezekiel 47? It's the exact same thing. But why is it produced? It's planted near the river. It's planted in God's presence. You got to understand, where you set your roots makes all the difference. If you're an apple tree and you set your roots in a desert, probably ain't going to live. Where you set your roots matters. Where you position yourself, how you position yourself, how deeply you settle your roots, those things matter. If you want to stop flopping around like a tumbleweed, set solid roots. The stronger your roots are, the better you'll be able to withstand the storm. You tired of getting knocked over? Set your roots stronger. Draw near to him. There's so many people that wonder why they don't see God move in their own lives and why they don't seem to produce any godly fruit. In my humble opinion, I believe that it's because they're not planted near God's presence. Are you spending any time with Him at all? I'm not talking about your obligation list on your phone where you've got a daily Bible reading plan and you hurry through it so you can feel accomplished. I'm talking about spending time with Him. Really seeking to know Him. Really desiring to draw near to His heart. Listen, the truth is, if you've got a daily Bible reading plan, and that's great, I do. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. We should be in the Word. But are you trying to do it because it's a mental checklist, or are you doing it to learn from Him? I'll even go as far to say this. It is much better for you to read one chapter of the Bible a day and glean something from it than to skim through five and not have any idea what you read 10 minutes ago. It's about knowing Him. Knowing Him. Not knowing about Him. Yeah, there's a lot of people that know who Jesus is. They know about Him. Doesn't Scripture say in the last days there would be many that said, "Lord, Lord, I did this in Your name. I did that in Your name. I did this and that." But just as we said earlier, what's He's going to say? "Depart from me, worker of iniquity. I never knew you." It's not about religion. It's not about appearing righteous before people. It's about pursuing the heart of God. Psalm 107, 4-9 says this, "Some wandered in desert wastes, finding no way to a city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted within them. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and He delivered them from their distress. He led them by a straight way till they reached a city to dwell in. Let them thank the Lord for His steadfast love, for His wondrous works to the children of man." Verse 9, listen to this please. "For He satisfies the longing soul, and the hungry soul He fills with good things." I'm going to read verse 9 one more time because I want that to sink in. "For He satisfies the longing soul, and the hungry soul He fills with good things." Longing and hungry. Notice those words in that passage. I praise God that He's a well that never runs dry. Amen? I thank God that I have all the nourishment that I need in Him. That He provides. That He takes care of me. Even in seasons where life doesn't make sense and it feels like it's hell on earth. That He takes care of me. That He loves me. I'm grateful for those moments. But it all comes back to that understanding. It really does, that our focus needs to be upon Him, and so many times it is not. And we can appear religious or righteous even before one another, or holy, or whatever we want to say. We can appear good before other people. But it's about how we appear before God. How do we appear before Him? What does our heart look like before Him? What does He see when He sees us? When we see that proverbial movie, so to speak. If they were to show your life on that screen behind me to everybody else here, what would they see? Would they see a heart that longs after God, or would they not? I'm going to ask everybody to stand if you would.